This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
A few people out there might know this guest. Well, I mean, say, you're like, she's a living legend here in Australia. And
so glad you put living in front of me. That's
right. And I am talking about Deborah Byrne, who you just heard the voice there, leading lady of stage, television and film. Deborah, welcome to Joy.
Thank you very much. I like coming in here.
Oh, good on you. Yeah. Good on you. Now, with all our guests, we always start off with their background. You are we here for 3 days
or
what? It's a long way back.
Yeah.
And you know, like, we both, Neil and myself, mentioned it at the same time. We're all started back at Young Talent time.
Yeah, well, it actually started back at Brian and the Juniors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So Brian Naylor, beautiful man, gorgeous man. He was the host of Brian and the Juniors then.
Yeah.
Began as Swallows and the Juniors. You would have no idea what I'm talking about.
I go back as far as Young Talent time. That's it.
Okay.
So how old were you then?
Oh, I would have been turning 12.
Right.
And then...
So how
I only was there for a year, and after 14 years of this show being on, it was kaput.
Yes. Yeah. You know?
And then there was a year where I was out of work.
Oh, poor
first
thing.
Time
12
in my
year
life.
Hooly dooly.
Oh, it's okay. I just got to go to the baths more often. And then there were these auditions for, you know, this new show they were talking about. And Jamie Redfern's father, Sam, rang my mum and said, I think Deb could like this. And when it came, when I actually came home from school, and my mum said, oh, look, there's an audition for you to do this show. You know, it's a new show. They'd like you to come in and audition later today, you know, this evening, whatever. And I said to her, oh, but I want to go to the baths with Glenda. I remember, I like, oh, come on. I was never very ambitious. And she said, oh, come on, Sam's done you a nice favour, putting your name out there. And I went, oh, all right. And that, there you go.
Yep.
Wow.
How many years? Yeah.
Well, I just want to, like, it feels like you sort of just emerged out of the box completely as a performer. Is that the case? Like, how did you begin performing?
Oh, look, I began when, you know, I was one of those children that
precocious,
and I performed, and my father was a guitarist and singer, and we were a little bit Von Trappish, you know, and there were many of us, and so we all kind of sang with Dad, and we sang in pubs and,
wow,
you know, places, and you know, as the older members of the family kind of went off and did the things they wanted to do that they were passionate about, I remained because that was it. That's all I ever wanted to do. So
amazing.
I was quite happy in that. I used to sing at a pub not far from here, the Prince Patrick Hotel,
yep,
Victoria,
yep,
Parade, with my dad on Saturday nights. And I wasn't allowed to do that anymore, you know, after a while, because Young Talent time didn't think it fitted the image of, you know. But that's really, you know, that's how I began with Dad.
So singing has always been your first love?
Always. And mm-hmm. dancing. But I think I was always going to be a better singer than I was a dancer. I've got tendons that just don't bend. They don't move. You know, Ross Coleman, who was, you know, Ross Coleman, great choreographer, brilliant man. You know, he loved the way I danced because I danced from my gut, my heart. But my technique was extremely poor, which, you know, I could never do the splits. I had to have the water broken, you know, twice giving birth because the doctor said, like bloody leather straps in there, don't you? I think my whole body's sort of on this kind of, like, you know, rigid, tense kind of thing. Yeah. It's held together quite tightly.
You mentioned that Jamie Redfern's dad mention the audition. Is that because, was he in the business, or had you worked with Jamie before?
Jamie was on Brian and the Juniors.
So the
original six who went to Young Talent Time had all come from Brian and the Juniors.
So you knew,
Yeah, we all knew each other.
Yeah.
We'd all, you know, worked together.
How many years was Young Talent Time?
I lost count and I stopped watching, you know, as you do. But I was there until I was about 16. I've lost count of that too.
Yeah.
Johnny Young's very good at correcting me, so you could call him up.
So, yeah, like all of a sudden you were on national television on this show that was hugely popular. Mm. The whole of Australia watched it. And, you know, like you became a celebrity, didn't you?
Yeah, but, you know, I wasn't really aware of that. And it's interesting. Yeah, look, we're moving house at the moment, so, you know, it's a nice relief to come here.
Get away from moving.
Yes. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of culling this move. I figure, you know, I'm getting a little too old to be dragging the rest of everybody else's stuff around. So, okay, everybody's culling. We're minimalising. And I've been going through a lot of the stuff. Do I really need to keep this? No, that's going.
No, you're not throwing.
No, old. Not throwing out, putting it aside and going to move it on to somebody. Like, you know, I know that Elaine Mariner likes to collect theatrical stuff. So no, I wouldn't do that. But, you know, just looking at the amount of times I was on the front page of TV Week, it never occurred to me that that was significant. I just kind of, you know, went, oh, yeah, I have my photo taken. Oh, yeah, you're on the cover.
Is that because you never felt your stardom? Is that what you're saying? Like you never felt impinged upon or...
But I never felt that that was that important.
Right.
I didn't...
You weren't clocking it.
No. Yeah. I mean, what I thought was important was that I was doing something that I loved to do with people who loved to do it as well.
Yep.
So that's... And that's very childlike and, you know, that's kind of what goes on, isn't
but,
it?
But also these days it's very different, isn't it?
Oh, you know,
like
totally
because
different.
Of social media and where, you know, like...
We're not quite so naive about marketing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
and and also, you know, there is... We did set a precedent for... You know, that kind of show. Brian the Juniors was a great success, but it didn't have only six kids and one host.
Mm.
It had many kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so this became, you know, you were very, you stood out a lot. And I guess, you know, that was something very new. I think marketing then was also very new in Australia.
Yep.
And also the parents of the kids in the show, they had no idea about entertainment. You know, they had no idea about publishing or, you know, how much TV Week we're going to make out, make off Deb Byrne being on the cover again. Nor did I. Didn't really care.
Oh, so
all that stuff has changed so much that... Nowadays, you know, they wouldn't get away with that.
Yeah. Mm. Now, you actually said Deb Byrne, and you were known famously as Debbie Byrne in the day. How do you react when somebody calls you Debbie now? Do you go, I'm Deborah?
Oh, God, no. No. I wanted my real name back. Mm. I love the name Deborah.
Mm.
Debbie was a person for me that, I had a lot of success, but I also had a lot of pain as that child. So, you know, sexual abuse was there. There was a lot of domestic violence. So Debbie, to me, at that, you know, when I was grappling with therapies and stuff, Debbie was significantly the child.
Mm.
And I didn't want that name anymore. Even though my name actually is Deborah, it's not Debbie on my birth certificate, but Debbie was sort of like a nickname for a Deborah, wasn't it? It was
absolutely.
Child name for Deborah. So I just wanted to reclaim Deborah, and I wanted to get rid of Debbie for a while.
Yeah.
And I certainly wanted to have my real name, and I think it's a beautiful name. I love it. Mm. So when I changed my name... back to my name publicly, Yeah, people kind of went, oh, you know, she's doing a Johnny John and all that. I really don't care.
Yeah.
I had my own reasons and they were valid reasons for me to do that.
Oh, and you're a woman and you want to be Deborah.
Yeah, and so, but now that I've, you know, grown up in many, many ways, and that... Debbie, that name Debbie now, I totally appreciate that child a lot more. And I feel at peace with her.
Yeah.
And so when people say, oh, Debbie, I hear that as great love.
Mm.
It's because they love you that they call you Debbie, because that's how they were introduced to you. And that their response to me as a child was with love, whereas my response to myself as a child was with great confusion and not always a high worthiness of myself, you know. So now all that's changed.
Yeah.
So when people do call me Debbie now, it's kind of cute. Yeah. I kind of like it.
Yeah, that's good. Now, you did so
God,
much.
That was tangled, wasn't it? I need to have a group session.
Well, it's a complicated question.
Hey, but the thing is, though, people have had an insight. You know, Deborah Byrne, we know you so well, but that was a lovely little insight, and that's what Sunday Arts Magazine's about. Now, you've had so much success in theatre, and you're still going, and we're going to get to the show that you're here to talk about in a moment.
Because I know Simon's listening.
But it all started because Simon Myers, who's producing this, did a show with you a couple of years ago, a Carole King show. Mm. What was that one called?
I can't remember. Carole King, the songs of Carole King. I really can't remember what exactly
it was called. Tapestry.
Tapestry, that's right. Right. It's called Tapestry. But I actually started working with Simon on a show previous to that called The Last Man Standing, which I really enjoyed. And I got to sing with Nick Barker.
Right.
And we both shared the narrative and a lot of the songs together. And I really enjoyed working with Nick. He's awesome. So that was my first experience working with Simon as a producer, not a musician. Mm. Then he called me back and a couple of years later and said that I'd like you to do this. And he knew that I would be like, yeah, because I love Carole King, James Taylor. That's where my heart is. And he knew that. He knew that I'd be keen to do it. What he didn't know, I guess, was whether I'd like to work with Vicar Bull, share it with Vicar Bull. And of course, I just went, yay, I would love to work with Vicar Bull. She's awesome. So it was it wasn't a kind of a natural together for people. They didn't kind of like, Deb Byrne and Vicar Bull, that's kind of weird, you know. But when they saw us together on stage and they heard us sing together, they got it straight away. Mm. It was very, very easy to work with Vicar.
Well, let's talk about this show.
Yeah.
Because... it sounds so interesting because the Highwaymen came to Australia, all those amazing people. You were a support act to them. And that's when you learnt about all this wonderful music that...
Well, no, I already loved it.
Of course you did.
I already loved it. And Gary Van Egmond, beautiful man, great entrepreneur, you know, promoter, he knew how much I loved James Taylor. Because I'd met James Taylor at the Siebel Townhouse, thanks to Gary. I snuck in on the sound check. I've adored him all my life, you know, since I was 12. So Gary knew that I had a love of that type, that genre of music. And he just knew that I'd be a good fit for that show. But I hadn't sung that music publicly. I'd always been... I was very much in musical theatre at the time. And I'd just come out of Cats, I think, for the second time. So it was... sorry, have I done something wrong?
No.
Okay, am I too loud? Am I too soft?
No, it's got nothing to do with you.
You're writing about the pimple on my nose. Okay, so anyway... He said, you want to do it? And I went, oh, yes. And I knew I had a band tucked away in Sydney. It wasn't my band. It's called Chasing the Train. I used to go and listen to them every Thursday night at a pub in the Cross after doing theatre. Head down there and dance my heart out and get up and sing harmonies. And they did a lot of, you know, Little Feet songs and, you know, all that, right, you know, Raikouda stuff.
Yep,
and that.
Yep.
And it was just, it just fit me so well. And so I rang Kevin Bennett, who was the lead singer of the band. I said, Kevin, how about putting your band together for me for the Hireman tour? And, you know, he couldn't talk. He was just like, because every one of them, James Gillard, you know, Kirk LaRange, you know, all these wonderful players, they were just like in love with every one of those men, you know, musicians. So it was an absolute joy for all of us to do this tour.
So, and here you are now. You're doing a show. It actually doesn't really have a name, does it? It's called Up Close and Personal.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I suppose that's a name.
That's a name. But Deb and Dion, Deborah Byrne and Dion Harini, that's who we are. They're our names.
And what sort of songs are you doing? Is it your history or is it...
Well, it's my history of music,
the songs
that
you
like. That you love, yeah. Nice.
But it's a genre of music that I adore too. I mean, it's not all country and it's not all, you know...
It's kind of like your own mixtape.
Yeah, and I guess it's the way Dion and I present those songs too. We don't cover them. We do our take on these songs.
Give us a few examples so our listeners know.
Okay,
what
so
you
we
mean.
Do we do one of my favourite Aussie songs from Mondo Rock, State of the Heart.
Aye, okay. Yep.
So we do that, but you know, it may not sound much like how Russ and Mondo Rock do it, but it's still that beautiful song.
Mm. Yeah.
We do Sweet Baby James Taylor. We do... Oh, I'm not going to give away the encore because that's a big surprise every time, even for me.
What, you sing the Young Talent type song?
Oh, God, no. Bloody hell. No, definitely not. It's. I guess it's the harmonies that we do together. Dion is such a beautiful musician. He's a beautiful man. He's a friend of many, many years. And we click so well together as musicians. Mm. And we understand each other really well in what we like to bring to a song.
Yep.
And I guess the songs that I love to sing very much are the songs that do tell a story. That's why I've never really been into pop, the real pop songs, because they to me don't tell a story.
Mm.
And that's why I love James Taylor and Joni and Carol and Linda Ronstadt and Raikouda and all these wonderful writers. John Hyatt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love John Hyatt.
So do I.
Now, why are you only doing one night? Yeah, like this is the sort of show that's going to, you know, like, it's going to be.
We should have had the producer in for that one.
Yeah, where's Simon Myers?
You're like,
that you need to be touring this.
Well, we will. But
okay.
It's early days.
Trial.
It's early days. It is early days, and
it's off Broadway, but it's off Melbourne.
It's off Melbourne, but we did Frankston a month ago. We're going to do. At the moment, we're doing like one a month.
Yep.
And. It's just something that we want to build,
yep.
and hopefully people will love it as much as we love performing it.
And how's it going when people see
it? Yeah, they love it.
Good.
They love it, and I love it, and Dion loves it, and so, you know, it's just, I always come away from this show just feeling so zen, I guess, just feeling so at peace.
Mm.
It's a beautiful feeling. Mm. When you choose songs that just come directly from your heart, you know, and that you adore every moment of what you're doing and you really love and appreciate the people that you're sharing it with, you know, especially Dion, it's really healthy for me.
So the Friday the 10th of Jan?
Yeah.
Where are you?
Bunjil. Bunjil Place.
Yes, and it's the studio in Narre Warren.
Yeah.
And a beautiful venue, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
We did tapestry there. It's absolutely stunning venue. It's kind of blocking Fountain Gate now.
Mm. Yep.
You know, which is not a bad thing for Narre Warren. that's what you see now when you're driving in this fantastic theatre complex.
Yes.
So, it's really, really lovely.
Well, Deborah Byrne, absolute pleasure to have you in today.
Thank you, David.
And hearing all those stories way back, you know, the Debbie story, loved it, absolutely loved
it. It was a little convoluted, but you know.
Yeah. And good luck with the moving, and also make sure all your memorabilia goes to the right people. Don't you dare throw anything out.
No, I'm not throwing it away. But you know, like sometimes people have gone, oh, you know, you probably don't have this magazine, and you end up with three of the same magazine. Right. You go, oh, I don't need three of those. You know, that kind of colour. Yeah. Nothing disastrous.
Brilliant. Well, lovely to meet you and have you in the studio today.
Thank you very much. Deborah. Thanks for your support.
Thank you. Here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.